We began our messages this month by asking, where is God? Where is this God that we say we believe in, that we do believe in? This God that we reach out for, that we long to know is reaching out for us. Just where is this God? And we understand that this God is everywhere. That there is nowhere that we can go that we are somehow away from this God. God is everywhere. Then we ask, who then is this God? This God that is everywhere, this ubiquitous, this everywhere present at one time. Just who is this God? What is the nature of this God? How do we understand this God? And we spoke about how the nature of this God is poured out love. It's revealed everywhere. This God who is everywhere is revealed as being, there's no secret here. This God who is revealed in nature. This God who is revealed in Scripture, this God who is revealed in the person and the work, the birth, death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This God is poured out love. Where is God? God is everywhere. Who is God? God is poured out love, revealed everywhere for those who have eyes to see it. Last week, we moved our focus to ourselves, and we asked, well then, who are we? Who are we as we are somehow drawn into an experience of knowing who and what this God is in Jesus Christ as believers? Who are we? What is our most essential identity? And we spoke about how we are beloved, held in God, with a grasp that will never let us go. Oh, we may squirm and struggle and look in all sorts of other directions, but who are we? We are beloved and we are held in God, woven into Christ and shining with the sacredness that has been asked from the very beginning. That's who we are. We forget it, but that's who we are. That was all so far this month. Today we're asking, well then, as the beloved of this God who has poured out love everywhere, why are we here? What's our purpose? As we begin to glimpse a sense of our identities, so we want to understand something more of our purpose. What is it that we are here for? What is the goal? What is the plan? What is the mission? Our main purpose in life. And here comes another spoiler. We are here to wake up to that realization of who we are, and then to go out and to share that realization with others who too are needing to wake up and to understand who they are and where they are. Embody God's love out into all of the world, our purpose. Three teachers that I really appreciate, there's many beautiful teachers out there, but I'm going to be referring to Richard Rohr and to James Findlay and to the writings of Philip Newell here today. They speak about this. They speak about our life's ultimate purpose, why we are here. Our ultimate purpose is to be transformed by Christ's love into becoming Christ's love. Isn't that wonderful? We are here in order to live a life that leads us towards coming to realize our union with God, that we have a unity, a oneness, that nothing can separate us from that beautiful love. And it's not only with us and people, it's to live lives that embrace the sacredness of all creation. As we come into that realization, it's a huge statement, but as we come into that realization, wow, just imagine with me for a moment what our world could look like if we started to get that right. Living with that kind of a reverence for all of creation and all people at all times. We are here to become what we already are, but we are here to become love. We are here to become love, embraced, lived, owned, and demonstrated, channeled. Our ultimate purpose in life. The whole point and purpose of our lives is not to do what we so easily find ourselves being caught up to do, doing, is like accumulating stuff, somehow self-aggrandizement, somehow making ourselves more. And we want to build and build and build, and we want to build our egos, and we want to build our possessions, and we want to have... There's the kind of anecdotal story of somebody who was driving along the highway somewhere in California, I think it was, when this little Porsche came whipping past him, and the bumper sticker said, "He with most toys wins." I think we live like that, as if that's somehow a reality. It's just not true. The whole point and purpose of our lives is actually our transformation. That's what repentance, metanoia, actually means in Greek. It's to be transformed, to come into a realization of something that is so much more real. And the word that we have for that in Scripture, of course, is love. The poured out love of God revealed in Christ. The slow surrender of all of what was once so very necessary to build up, so that the love of God, which is the very essence of our truest self, Christ in us, can come to just shine out. That's the point of life. And I think we know people like that. People who seem to have, on the outsides, become less, because on the insides, they just beam with holy love. I think of an old minister, an old Presbyterian minister friend, who's long since passed away, the Reverend Manfred Hartsleaf in Port Elizabeth, now called Kebega in South Africa, many years ago. I never quite understood his sermons. I never quite understood when he spoke. He used too many words. But the love of Christ just poured out from that man. And as he got older and dementia started creeping in and all sorts of other things, the love just got clearer. To be transformed, to be sanctified step by step, it can be a whole lifelong process, journey. But it's why we are here, to become love in that beautiful, beautiful way. Listen again to St. Paul as he writes in Romans chapter 12, calling for us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God, dedicated to God's service and pleasing to God. And then comes the warning. Do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then he goes on to say, then we will know what's good and pleasing and right and of God, and so on. To know the will of God, what is pleasing to God, what is perfect to God. As Christ following people of faith, I think it's right and of God that we come to see our lives as this lifelong journey towards that end. The knocks, the ups and the downs and all, those things don't win. Ultimately, as Rob Bell writes in his book, love wins. We believe that. Resurrection wins. God's love wins. Our purpose is that we may know that love winning in us. We are here to learn to trust God, allow God's grace to reshape us away from all of just being consumed by ourselves, and to own that outcome, that holy outcome, Christ in me. Learning to trust God through all sorts of our circumstances, that we may become people of justice and compassion and mercy and love, inclusive love. Yeah, the role of darkness and hardship. I have a friend who speaks about how when she goes through the darkest, darkest times of her life, where she just can't see God, she can't see hope, she imagines those are the times when God's holding her the tightest in God's fist, where no light can get in, because that's how closely she's being held. That's how tightly she's being loved. A beautiful image. We are here to learn how to give consent to God's work in us, to allow the Holy Spirit to help us undo our illusions, all those things that we build up as little idols in our lives about who God is and what life is all about. And let the Holy Spirit do that work, sanctifying work of opening our eyes and opening our hearts and helping us to understand more of what it is to be loved and to go out and to be love. That sounds kind of abstract, I know, and it's like I'm speaking in theory, but it's what we sing and what we're about to sing. Make me a channel of your peace. Isn't that exactly what we're saying? Make me a channel of your peace, O God. Not that I want to be understood, but that I will be willing to understand. Not that I need to be consoled all the time as a victim, but I may grow up and actually be useful to you in consoling others, bringing your hope and healing to others. Biblically, we can think of scriptures like 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, where we are told that our living in God's love is the essence of our living in God. The beautiful passage that speaks about God not as being institutions or being doctrines, or but that God is love. And that those who come ultimately to live in love, live in God. And God lives in them. Why are we here? Why are we here? Oh my goodness. To become love in that beautiful, beautiful way. Father James Findlay so eloquently teaches how our primary purpose is to wake up, to awaken to the mystical love union already present between God and the soul. A spiritually mature person is not someone who necessarily achieves something, but someone who starts to glimpse what love already has done and is doing in their lives and in the lives of others, however broken things may appear. He writes so beautifully of how we are the generosity of God. We are the song that God sings. We are here to awaken to the divine union at the center of our being and to let that union flow outwards as healing, compassion, peace into the world. Acts of generous love, acts of kindness, acts. 1 John spells it out for us. We know this passage well, but hear it again as if for the first time. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences relationship with God. The person who refuses to love, however wise and however they, the person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know God if you don't know love. And this is how God showed God's love for us. God sent God's only Son into the world so that we might live through him, demonstrating what poured out love looks like. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that God loved us and sent God's Son as a sacrifice to clear away all our sins and the damage that we allow our sinful reactions to do in our relationships with others and with God. My dear friends, my dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God ever, but if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us. And God's love becomes perfect, complete in us. Perfect love. It is no longer I who live, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, but Christ who lives in me, the love of God living in me. That's why we are here, to grow into that realization, excited by that realization. John Philip Newell teaches then how our whole purpose in life ultimately is to awaken ourselves and others to that divine image of God, which already is in ourselves and in all of creation. It's for us to wake up to it, to become alive to it, to become aware of it. We are here to embody the sacredness of God in the world. Us, with all of our foibles and all of our imperfections and all of our limitations, we are here to embody the sacredness of God in the world, to come to live in harmony with creation, to honor the divine in one another, to help birth a more compassionate world, a world that is so filled of most toys winning and trampling on one another. We are here to embody a different way. It's all right here in Scripture. The divine light, John chapter 1, verse 3, that's already in all of people. Our work is simply to wake up to it, to see it, to know it, and to live it. Share it. In Christ, our awakened selves, hear this. In Christ, our awakened selves is just the gift that God longs to give to the world. And according to Romans chapter 8, the whole world, the whole of creation is just longing for our waking to that. We are the gift that God would use to give to the world. Awakened up self. No, not a squirming, struggling ego Robin, but a wakened up Robin. Someone who's actually glimpsed, who's seen, who's been given to know and to live it. So finally, why are we here? What is that all about? How do we understand all of that? Well, to be able to embrace that identity, to know it. We have to struggle with that question of why are we here? We have to struggle with that question at every age of our lives. To stop often and to think, so who am I? Okay, I'm beloved. What is my purpose in life again? What's going on? Yeah, I'm about to turn 85. What is my purpose in the next years that are open to me? I'm about to turn 15. What's the next few years going to mean for me? What is my main purpose? How can I best embody and share God's love in the world? Beautiful questions for us to chew on. And chances are, I'm called now at my age of 67 to be a different Robin to what I was at 40. The Spirit of God working in me, bringing different understandings and thoughts to what beloved means to me now and to others. Here's some questions to think about. Where in my life am I being invited to wake up, to awaken, to recognize the divine life already present within the other, within me and within others, rather than needing to strive to earn or to prove anything? Where in my life am I being invited to wake up and to see what already is? What illusions? What ego stories? What old identities might I need to release? Just let go. They're not helpful. They're not honest. They're not true. So that Christ's life may shine more freely into and out from, through me. What's getting in the way? How do I sense all creation just longing for my awakening, for my compassion, my presence? Where are the needs in my life? Where are the hurting people, the struggling situations, where I know I can make a difference if only I could wake up to it? How do I sense that longing in all of creation that the Scriptures speak about? And in what concrete ways might I participate in God's healing of the world this week? What can I do tangibly, practically? What can I do this week as someone who is already held and loved and woven into Christ? What difference can I make? Oh dear God, that we'd be able to wrestle with those questions. We understand that no church, no Christ-awakened church has a mission or a purpose of its own. It's always God's mission and a church with which to complete God's mission. We would be faithfully part of that kind of a community. How do we do that? How do we actually go and do that? That's for next week. We're going to dig into that question a little bit more next week. But for now, we would own something of that beautiful, beautiful reality of purpose. Christ-given identity and purpose. Oh God, make me a channel of your peace. May it be so. Amen.